Very strange.
And it happens at the wedding. Isn't that cool symbolism?
It's funny, a while back when I was thinking about who in the world would go to a wedding and say, oh, look, you don't have enough food here. You don't have enough wine here. It had to be his wedding.
You know, we've covered all of this. You guys were, last night, you really pulled it out of me.
Yeah.
Let me just look and see if I've got a little bit more.
The one with the calming draught. I want to know what it is.
The word
you spoke about, drought.
Well, the coming drought, you know, when Joseph was raised up as a deliverer, he was one of the 12 again that was raised up as a deliverer, as a pattern of a deliverer. And, you know, they threw him in a hole and left him for dead, and along comes a, was it a traveling merchant that took him out of the hole and
they sold him to slavery.
Yeah, sold him into slavery, and he works his way up. And but you know, this is all a pattern and a story about the ego being brought into a certain place of slavery, intended, purposeful slavery for a period of time. And it's interesting that they were warned of the coming drought. Joseph was warned and was able to, when he's reunited with his family, bring them back. But the symbol of their redemption, does anyone know what the symbol of their redemption was?
Silver.
It was the silver chalice that was put in the sack of grain.
Yeah.
Again, Benjamin. Remember the sack of grain?
From Benjamin. Benjamin, son of the right hand.
See, all of that is such symbolism. So we knew that even in the restriction that they were going to experience in slavery, that they would experience redemption, that there was redemption coming. But that silver brought them back, and, you know, so they went into somewhat forced slavery for 400 years, and there rises up another deliverer, which is a symbol of the ego being raised by another mother. That's the same thing as the vineyard coming and being planted in a field, and then the vine dresser leaving and letting out the land to another landlord. Remember that? There's two parables about that. And so it's just all so purposeful and so beautiful. We haven't been abandoned, and we haven't been fighting this fight, and God is not far away. All this has been perfect and beautiful for us, a perfect environment for us to grow in. So does that help about the coming drought?
Okay, unless, you know, that parable with Benjamin and Joseph and Benjamin. To me, Joseph represents Jesus, but Benjamin is another will come. And Benjamin represents all of us. It says, son of the right hand is the Benjamin. And it represents us. Joseph represents Jesus, our brother.
So let me ask you. Let me ask you what you think you're going to do differently from here on out. How have you been changed over the weekend? What do you think that you'll do differently?
Not to create the bad vibes. I mean, I want to move on. I don't want to keep creating and keep living in that.
That's good. What else?
Bring him to that place. Not the middle.
Come out of the boat and on top of the water. What else? Have you been changed?
Change of thinking. My thinking's been changed.
Again, to be able to mark how we create our own reality by our thoughts.
Which part?
How we create our own reality. Our thinking. Our emotions. I don't think she's ever heard anything like that before.
Well, tell me a little bit about you before I go on. Let me just know a little bit about you. How old are you?
20.
20? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look like your daddy.
Uh-huh. What you mean?
You go to school, you work?
Yes.
Yeah?
She was in a bad relationship and she had a lot of fear and anger. Fear that where she was, or how she's looking around to see if anybody's around.
How recent was it?
A year now.
So you. That's hard. Sorry that happened to you. You know, I think what your dad wants you to know, some of the things that we've talked about over this weekend, I've talked for hours. And hours. So, but one of the things that we touched on is that we can create our own reality by our thoughts and by our emotions and our focus on certain situations. So probably what is very good for you is not to expect or not to look for those negative experiences, but to look for what you do want. You know, look for what you do want. And because we can attract bad juju to us by our thoughts and our emotions. Now, you know, I had, when I was a teen, I had a negative relationship where it probably wasn't anywhere near what you experienced. So I know it can be painful and traumatic. But if you can focus on the things that you do want in a relationship, focus on those things that would bring you joy and peace and harmony, and that's what you'll attract to yourself. Because a lot of times when we focus on what's wrong or what's broken, we create more of what's wrong and what's broken. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the Bible teaches us, and Jesus spoke about whatever you ask for, be confident and surrounded by your answer, and you'll receive whatever it is that surrounds you. So if we surround ourselves with fear, or trepidation, or terror, or anger, if we're continually emitting that type of a vibration, then that's the signal that we're sending out. Because when I say we're sophisticated manufacturers of energy, you have the Spirit of the Most High living inside of your body. And with this energy living inside of your body, what you say shall be. And what you say isn't necessarily words. It's vibration. So if you are continually moving around with a clenched stomach or fearful or have trepidation, that's a signal that you're sending out from your body that's actually a request. And so it's important that we stop looking at the things that we don't want and focus on the things that we do and go confidently into your destiny rather than being fearful and being held captive by your past. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Ray, is that what you wanted me to say? Now, if you ask questions like that, do you notice kind of a flow starts? And, you know, where that stuff comes from, I don't know. But if you have questions that prompt me, you know, when I talked about having potluck, I don't care what the questions are. Sometimes information will just flow, and then you can ask me to say it again, and I won't have any idea what I said. That's why I asked you to start giving me some information, and then I hear responses and direction and encouragement. So, with that in mind, does anyone want to prime the pump?
I used to have, like, vivid dreams all the time. and they just stopped. And I find it kind of disheartening, and I don't know why that is. Maybe, if you've ever heard of anything like that before.
Well, I can tell you what I'm hearing. And so y'all give me some grace, because sometimes I hear some unusual things. But what I see is that there's a closure in your backside chakra.
Okay.
Back here. This is where we receive dreams and information when we sleep. So do you mind if I just open that up?
That's weird. Am I feeling her pain?
You can feel it in your head.
Yeah.
So all I'm going to do, I'm just going to ask for this portal to open. And you know how the shutter of a camera opens and closes and you can see it fold back into place?
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to ask that to gently open, and that you begin to receive again those things, those messages, that communication, that is only for your benefit, for your joy, and for your expansion. And I see that for whatever reason, this was closed gently by a higher edict for a season. And I feel like this will open again, and it would probably be a great benefit for you to begin to record the things that you hear and that you see in your dream state, and ask for that guidance and that wisdom to come again. But for whatever reason, I saw it close just like the shutter of a camera, but it gently closed. It wasn't through trauma or anything negative. It just gently closed. And maybe it just takes a thoughtful, conscious effort to ask for this information that can so easily flow through from other dimensions. Okay, so just with your intent, have your booklet ready and your pen ready, and just intend for this area of access to be opened up only for your highest and your best purpose and good. Okay? That's what I saw. Just let the clothes into the shutter. And I just think it has to open through a conscious effort and intent, recognizing that these things are not just fly by night. People are given, young people especially, are given dreams for conditions, for a reason, for this time. Now, I know you told me that you're really into history, but what about what kind of artistic expression do you participate in? You act?
Yeah.
Are you in a theater company, or?
I mean, in college I was, and I did some plays at Le Petit.
And do you have any desire for that artistic expression?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's connected back here. And maybe as that opens, we need to see about some opportunities for that expression.
I have a question. She mentioned dreams, and we come to the place where we understand when a person departs, because I don't believe in death, and that the spirit goes back. Now, my question is, when we dream, we see these people that were here, could be relatives or friends or something. Now, they don't exactly look like they did, but you're well aware of who they are. And my question is to that, how can we see them in the body that they were when they're changing bodies? Understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think it's their essence, and I think that they speak to us in the form that we're familiar with. Now, my stepfather recently passed away, and as he was dying in hospice care, I whispered in his ear, I said, will you come and see me? And he looked at me and said, yes. And he came to me about 2 weeks after he died in a dream. And he was a young man. When I first met him, when I was 15, he was my stepdaddy for 36 years. But he had the form and the shape of himself when he was in his 40s. And I walked in the room in my dream, and I saw him, and I said, you did come see me. And he just sat there and said, yeah, I did. And I said, so how are you doing? He goes, I'm doing great. It's all good, Barb. It's all good. But I knew that I had to come back and see you.
So they come in their form. Like I said, sometimes they don't exactly look like we've known them. We're very rare, aware of who it is. Mm-hmm. And they're just coming to visit. And sometimes fellow snakes.
Yeah. Know that. We're only separated by vibration. So anytime you lose a loved one, I mean, you can talk to them anytime because there really is no difference other than vibrational. And sometimes we can bridge that gap in consciousness just by our thoughtful intent and our willingness to see.
I had a friend of mine that died recently, and I wanted to ask her, because she would get my lessons and everything, and she would be so happy to get them in the mail, but she didn't have a computer. And I didn't get a chance to ask her, Mary Ann, when you go on the other side, would you come back and tell me how is it, what are you doing? But I didn't get a chance to.
It's not too late.
She could still appear to me.
Oh, sure.
I mean,
probably
she's
does.
Yeah.
You know, all these things, we have been so programmed, especially as Christians, not to delve into that kind of thing. But I've heard several dead people talk. And at the first time that it happened, I thought I was a necromancer and was going to, you know, go to hell because it happened back in the day. But you know, it's just, there are things like, I, you know, remember the little sapling and the big fruit on the tree? There's some things that our consciousness can't bear, and I think that's why we're given restriction. But you know, Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things, and some of those things are our boundaries and regulations and restrictions. So just inquire, you know, and ask. Your conscious intention speaks volumes. You okay?
That's
the honest. Your conscious intention speaks.
It's just one.
Speaks volumes, so I would ask.
Yeah. And I would like somebody to tell me what's going on.
Yeah. It's all good.
She's a good friend, too. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Well, she's not far.
I know.
What else?
You mentioned a while ago about purgatory at one time. What is your interpretation of what is your belief in heaven and hell or purgatory? Do you believe in purgatory or not? The Catholic, I know, they pray for the soul that's in purgatory. Now, they don't know, they don't make judgments that so-and-so went to purgatory, he didn't make it to heaven. They don't make those statements. But they just know that some of them didn't make it to heaven. In their mind, they think they're going to be in purgatory, and they ask the church congregation to pray for those that are in purgatory, that there would be in heaven someday. What's your thought about that?
Well, you know,
I mean, you hear different teachings, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that we all have, like, layers of understanding of spiritual truth, And again, I don't think that any of it's wrong, but you can see how human consciousness has evolved along the way. Even if you look at Martin Luther, and when he nailed the 92 edicts to the Catholic Church door saying, we don't have to pay. We don't have to pay for our sin. Where in the Bible does it say? And that the Catholics were reticent to let people read the Bible, but consciousness, remember when I said the root breaks the pot, you know, our conscious understanding eclipses what man tells us we can or cannot do, or some of the, some of that we look at now is just silliness. We wouldn't tolerate that today, and it's because our consciousness is blossomed. So, my thoughts on heaven and hell, you've heard me say there is a hell and this is it.
Mm-hmm.
You go to any cancer ward, you go to any women's, like Phoebe's home, shelter where women have been abused or children are, you know, tortured and murdered. I mean, yes, this is a lower dimensional level. And it exists in our passing as well. When you physically leave this world, there is a place of lower energy. But heaven is within you. So how can we go there when we die? You know, in purgatory, I'm not sure, you know, that all I know is what the physics professor that I meet with, he's in communication with this place called Marduk. It's supposed to be 80 times the circumference of the earth, and it's supposed to have a river that winds through it. Oh, maybe that's, sorry, that's there. There's another parallel planet that he talks about. But Marduk is a place of healing and restoration and contemplation. And a lot of people feel like these huge planets and star systems are the black holes that are out in space because they're occupying a certain density in another dimensional level that causes a black hole. So, I'm not sure. All I know is that there seems to be a lot of energy out there that's willing to help us. I think some of the great cloud of witnesses are our deceased relatives who hang around and help. Sometimes they come back in a different form and help us that way. I think that there is a time of reflection after we pass from here, and especially if we're going to reincarnate or come back again, that we may go and just have a time of rest and contemplation.
That's where that soul sweeping comes in probably now.
Yeah, but the whole purpose is to bring the consciousness to a place of maturity, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's been a slow, long, purposeful, beautiful process of growing the consciousness. And remember, just 100 years ago, you know, women didn't have rights, black people didn't have rights, and we've come a long way in a very short amount of time. So consciousness is growing exponentially. And so, does that help answer your question?
Where do we go? I mean, when you die, it says absent from the body is present with the Lord. What's that mean? Where do you go? What do you do?
Well, you know, part of the, you know, in Christian vernacular, I have to tell you that I have, although I say the word a lot, but I have trouble with it, the word Lord, because it pulls me into a different framework of mind. From what I understand, the word Lord was inserted in the King James era because they had landlords, and lords there that were the elevated ones in their society. And so that's a name that they ascribed to Jesus. So, yeah,
I know that was only in Genesis chapter 2 that they used Lord. They didn't use Lord in Genesis 1.
Well, they used
it was like two different creations.
Right, they used it a lot in the New Testament. So to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, I think energy rejoins energy. And sometimes if you're going to be reincarnated again, you may stay in a specific, you know, separate form, but you're still one with all that is.
Where do you go?
I don't know. I think you go to a place of rest and contemplation. And it's not necessarily a material place. You know, we think in terms of such concrete because we don't understand.
So when you maybe covered this last night, so you're talking about energy, we're joining energy, we're all of one spirit, and so it joins that.
That collective.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Hollywood always says, you know, when you die, you have to go towards the light, and as they say, some people don't, but everybody does, right? You know how you can then, the house is haunted mm-hmm. because of something bad happened.
Well, I can only tell you, I can't speak from experience, but I can tell you what I think. If you have a very strong belief that you're going to hell when you die, you've created that structure, and right. that's where you will go.
And I do have, like...
That's just why the people that believe there's 72 virgins, and they may experience a form of that. There's people that believe that Jesus meets them, and they are ushered into the pearly gates. I mean, there's just a lot of different things, but I believe that there are energies on the other side that help us navigate in the worlds after here, and that can guide and direct and other family members and so on. But I think that a lot is created by the mind, because as we know, it's creative.
So actually we create like a hell or a heaven, or
I think people can be very
beyond.
I think people can be very restricted by their beliefs.
Can I say I've understood that for a long time, because her brother had a very powerful near-death experience, which I was involved in. I believe I started telling you, but you don't hear about it too often. I mean, if I tell it to you, it's just a story, but in my mind, I know it really happened. Mm-hmm. But I pondered it for years, and I realized that God meets us where we are, just like you said. Some people, if they've been a strong Catholic and they've been into Mary, they'll see Mary.
Right.
So
isn't
we're
that beautiful? Isn't
version.
That mercy? I love that.
Yeah. We see our version. Just because you die, all of a sudden doesn't mean you understand everything that's going on.
So you go to another realm.
I had a dream or a vision long years ago when my daughter was young, and she loved kids. And she had this pretty yellow dress, and she was in this place, and she was surrounded by little children. And I understood these were all little kids, and it was her job to raise them, not here, in another place, to raise them up, because they had to be raised up. We don't learn everything at once. I mean, that was just an example to me, according to my present understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we see. We see what we can be shown, just at the level that we understand something.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it's the ultimate. Because, you know, Paul talked about the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's a lot.
Yeah. That's good. And I do think we exist in part on other dimensional levels. And there are other things. I think this is the physical level here. And there's certainly a lot learned here. But I think there are other planes of existence, parallel planes of existence, where... we work out things.
Yeah, because we were talking about that yesterday, and you said you don't know too much about it, but you used another word instead of multi-level. In my understanding, it means that you could be here and you could be there all at the same time. That's what Jesus did.
Well, and there's a book that you might want to read called The Holographic Universe. And that has a lot of information, because they say the universe is a holograph. And if you take off a little piece of the corner of the holograph, it contains the whole. So, you know, I'm not sure about all those things, but I do know that we are expanding, that we are growing, that we're becoming more aware that the plan for the ages is becoming more defined. I think we have a game plan. I think we need to know that we do need to cease our judgment, that we do need to take every thought captive, that we do need to be responsible for the vibrational energy that we let off around other people. I just think there's a whole different level of understanding coming to us, those that are called to bridge the age from one dimension to the next. And I hope that that's what this has provided for you this week. And one of the things that I'm learning is to regulate the flow. And you guys had a very strong pull on me last night, so it was hard for me to regulate the flow because it was coming out as fast as the demand. So, but the information is coming, and it comes with your conscious intent, and it's teaching and training, and there are a lot of different ways to get information. And again, if you just set your conscious intent to grow and to learn, the information will be given to you. No matter where you are, whether you can read or not, whether you go to a library, whether you go to a school, whether you go to a bookstore, whether you dream, whether you don't dream, the information is accessible and there for you.
I have a question about, you know, like I felt, I think it was her pain I was feeling. What do I do, you know, to be able to
release it?
You know what I mean? Because like, it's happened to me before, not just with her. It happened to me with somebody else. And it's like, what do I do? You know what I mean? With my heart.
Well, it's easy. There isn't a book or a set of instructions. And the easiest thing that you can do is just ask. What do I do with this? Am I feeling somebody else's issue? You know, not that she was in any pain, but I said that there was something that was blocking back here.
Right.
But just ask.
But
what then, do I do?
But then, if I say, I feel this. Is anybody in the room feeling this? Because I wasn't feeling it before. You understand what I'm saying? So then, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of me feeling it?
Well,
you know, why is the reason?
Well, we're all one.
Yeah, but then...
And sometimes that's a word of knowledge. Well, you ask. You don't necessarily ask the person. You ask the spirit.
Okay.
Say,
could
what
it be like compassion for that person?
Sure, or a word of knowledge or something. Mm-hmm. That just, you just ask. And it's different a lot of the time, but you just ask.
But then how do I know if it's not my name or somebody else's name?
You ask. <That's>, okay, I want to tell you just really quick about the parable where the man searches for the perfect pearl, the pearl of great price.
I was going to ask you that.
Are you?
Yes, I was.
And so this is interesting because I think that this is what's happened with you today. Is you search and search and search, the parable goes, for this perfect, beautiful pearl. And when you find it, you hide it. You go and sell all that you have in order to purchase the parcel of land where you hid the pearl. That is redeeming your life back as a conscious co-creator. Because the pearl, the treasure that you find, is the ability to create. That's the Father. It's a creative principle that's inside of you to consciously co-create. And so what you do is this beautiful pearl is hidden in the field. And so you go... You sell all that you have. You sell your doctrines, your understanding, your teaching, your whatevers, everything you gained under the law. You sell it all so that you can redeem your life back as a conscious co-creator. Isn't that a good interpretation of that parable?
You know what I mentioned about the play of these seven sisters? Is that... What is your take on that?
The
ladies? It has to do with seven sisters.
Well, there's seven stars in that system. Seven different energies. I think there's a mother and a father and five daughters, but I'm not sure. I don't know a lot about it. I just know that it's a star system that has a level of influence here on the Earth.
Yeah, because they mentioned it.
All through the ancient times, they don't even know who named it, between that and Orion.
Mm-hmm. And Orion is mentioned in the scripture, the Pleiades mm-hmm. are mentioned.
Seven is the number of perfection.
You would probably enjoy the Bringers of the Dawn, just to get an insight, you know, to that energy. Yeah, I think you would.
Okay. Oh,
anyone else? Well, I've got one more concept that I want to share with you then. A while back I was introduced to the possibility of us being in a binary solar system. Do y'all know what a binary is?
He does.
So two
suns.
Two what?
Two suns.
Two what?
Suns.
Oh, suns.
Binary.
S-O-N-S or S-U-N-S?
S-U-N-S.
They mirror images of each other.
Well,
universe is sun.
Are y'all interested in that? The possibility of us having two suns?
I'm interested in anything.
Okay.
Glasses are under there if you're looking for it.
A while back, I was given information that our solar system, that our sun, may be in a relationship with another star, with another sun. And I thought, wouldn't that be interesting if they were lovers? They were a couple. You know, everything up there is reflective of things down here at this level. So I thought about the possibility of the interplay of
all the suns, all the stars are suns.
So our sun, our solar system is, I believe it's in charge of influencing our ego. It's that part of creation that helps us survive on a biological level, not on a cosmic or a spiritual level, but on a biological level. Okay? And so someone introduced to me that it's possible that we are in a gravitational relationship with another star, and that star is a sun, and it's called Sirius. Y'all familiar with that? The Syrian influence. But the thing is, you would think that we would see another sun. But do you know that Plato and Socrates and Aristotle wrote of this binary star system? But something happens when we are at, if they are in a gravitational relationship, it means that they go like this. You see what I'm doing? You see the form that I'm tracing?
Making a figure eight, or
see what it is?
You drew
the best circle.
It's the best of Pisces. The best of Pisces. And so, if we are under the relationship of this other star, and this star, let's speculate, is in charge of our spiritual well-being, then when they are at their farthest point away from one another, and this is what they speculate, that around 400 or 500 years ago, we were at our farthest distance apart from this other sun. And remember, our solar system over here, our sun and our nine planets, are this far away. So the star only appears as a star, not as a sun that's so close. Even at their closest point, appears as a star. But if they're in this gravitational relationship like this, and our sun is on this outer edge in planets, and this other star is over here, and at their farthest point, it was around the time of the Dark Ages that they were at their farthest point. Intellect was very dense. spiritual aptitude was non-existent. They even burned books at that time that had anything to do with anything spiritual. The average lifespan was only 23 years. Isn't that amazing? 23 years. But what's happening now is we're about to hear, and we're starting to become enlightened. And what the yugas teach is at this lowest point, it's kind of like the statue that Daniel saw. You go from the iron feet or iron age to the bronze age to the silver age to the golden age. And so with this binary system, when it comes around and gets to that point, this point right here is the golden age. And it comes approximately once every 26,000 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, we go through this cycle. So if this is kind of a lover's dance that our sun has with this other star, and when we're at its farthest point, we kind of get dummied down spiritually. But then we go through a season where we get brighter and brighter and brighter, and then during this time when they are so close in proximity and that energy of that other sun is having its influence, we go through a golden age or a golden era. And then we have that influence and have that influence, but then it gets darker and darker and darker and darker again, and now we're in the dark ages. And then we cycle around again and things get lighter and lighter and lighter. And in that place, in this place, is where I believe that the earth is seeded and reaped. Because it's the Vesca Pisces. We know what that's a symbol of. It's the place where the earth is seeded with consciousness, but is also reaped. And now in the scripture, follow me here because this is important. It's important in our understanding of hell. Because it says that those that did not make it into the wedding chamber, remember the five virgins that went out to go buy oil but they didn't get back in time? Where does the scripture say they went?
To the bridegroom.
They would be cast into
hell.
Outer?
Darkness.
Darkness.
Outer darkness.
So no one ever goes to hell. It's just that consciousness may need to cycle around again and then experience that baseness of the human condition. Does that make sense? I mean, the information is not fresh in my mind. So what happens is out here, humanity experiences the depths of depravity and negativity. And it's necessary to be immersed in that darkness.
Well, the statue was Nebuchadnezzar, right?
Yes. Now, I want to talk to you about alchemy. Does anyone know what alchemy is?
Is it making gold into
metal into
turning
gold.
Base metal into gold.
Is it gold?
Anyone heard of that?
Yes,
turning
I did.
Base metal into gold?
I did.
Well, it's the same thing with consciousness. Base metal or iron going to gold. And I'm going to end with this because I think this is probably giving you a lot of good food for thought. But if we are in this position here where we come out of the iron and we're well into the bronze and on our way to silver, but I really believe that there's a portal opened up, and the scripture says, had times not been cut short in those days, even the elect may have been deceived. So I think that there's a portal or an opportunity for this divine alchemy to turn base metal into that golden era, that golden age, that time. I think that we're approaching the seventh cycle, and I think that we're headed for rest, and I think that if consciousness will just awaken, do some of the tools that we've talked about, use some of those measures of movement by non-judgment and things like that, that we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. But my purpose over the weekend was to bring some clarity for the mission. And I hope that you've got that, some encouragement, and some tools, practical tools for movement. Okay? Now, for those that are interested in learning more about the binary, the video is called, the DVD is called The Great Ear.
Great what?
The Great Ear.
Great Ear.
It's a 26,000 year cycle. And I think it's well worth a look. I think it'll give you good food for thought. It stimulated my understanding as to those that were cast into outer darkness. Gave me understanding about the dragnet and the fish being pulled up from the sea. I'm speaking in metaphors. I'm sorry if I'm confusing you with it. Anyway, it's good and it's interesting. You may find it helpful and useful. So, any more questions?
Gotta end?
Huh?
We gotta end?
Well,
you.
I can talk forever, but you have to prime the pump. Because I've covered everything that I knew that I was supposed to cover with you.
I know what I could ask you about. You said that the dragon is waiting for the child to be born. That's the ego's thought system to corrupt.
It's a corporate energy. Nice meeting you, ladies.
Nice meeting you.
Oh.
Oh, you put the back.
Have fun in there. No, the dragon.
You said the dragon. As soon as the baby's born.
In the book of Revelation, I was very, very sick one night. I had a bronchial infection, bronchitis. I had two ear infections. I had a bacterial throat infection. I was a mess. I had a high fever, and I heard a voice speak to me. Good one. It happened at that time. And I had been inquiring about this war that we were supposed to be experiencing of these this kicked out, angel from heaven, and how it came and drug a third of the angels with them. And I just didn't understand all of that because my ideas of hell and this cosmic battle were changing. You know, I was ceasing to see the enemy as an external foe rather than something that was happening in here in my consciousness. And so I'm sick, sicker than a dog, have a relatively high fever for a, at that time, 40-some-year-old. I was 103. And so I hear, I'm in the shower, and now I'm blow-drying my hair, and I hear this voice, and it says, "You are the stars."
You're the what?
You're the stars.
Stars?
That's what I said. I said, "I'm what?"
Because
you're
the stars.
What do you mean I'm the stars? And so I didn't understand it, but I knew that I had been studying the book of Revelation. So he said, "Yes, you are the stars." And so I felt prompted to go and read. And they weren't angels that fell. They were stars. Did you know that?
No, explain it.
Well, so as I'm reading, I'm thinking, okay, we are the stars. And he started to talk to me and tell me, and I went back to some of the original language, and it says, "The tail of the dragon drew and threw the third part of the stars and cast them to the earth." The tail of the dragon drew and threw the third part of the stars and cast them to the earth. And I said, okay, so we're the stars? Yes, you're the stars. But what is the third part? Well, the first part is your eternal spirit. The second part is your body or your frame. But the third part is your ego or your soul. And it was cast down. So your ego was cast down. Okay, well, how did that happen? It was the tail of the dragon drew and threw. Well, what is the tail of the dragon? The tail of the dragon, if you look in scripture metaphorically, it means false teaching, falsehood, false prophecy. So we believed the lie of our egoic consciousness when it said, "Did God really say?" And we were cast into a lower position. And so the war is all up here. The war is all up here. So when you talk about the dragon waiting at the entrance into this physical world, there is plenty of opportunity to receive the lie. And the dragon waits for the birth of the man-child. And so, you know, when I encourage you, I don't want to tell somebody, well, call me, I'll give you the answer.
Right.
Or call so-and-so, or Bishop so-and-so, or, you know, gone are the days of the pedestal. You inquire within, because all the knowledge that we, it's inside of us. And it waits for our conscious decision to just inquire. It waits for us. Just like opening up, you know, the back, you know, chakra there, you express interest in why doesn't that happen anymore? And we don't recognize that these things are within our grasp to do. Anything we want. So in the days ahead, you're going to have to begin to rely more and more upon that intuitive faculty. And you just ask and the answers will be given. You're there. Did that answer your question about the dragon?
Evie has a series of writings now about the revelation, about revelations, about 100 and something, you know, Preston Jay. Yeah, he came to our house twice, and it's wonderful. It's nothing like we were taught revelation.
Very interesting, because the metaphorical language is so potent, so strong. Yes, ma'am.
What do you think about, I've heard there are people that will deliver their generations. What do you think about that? I'm just curious.
Well, there are those. When you talk about being a deliverer of generations, you know, there's so much in our DNA. You know, in your DNA are all of your generations. And the delivering of the DNA, you know, when I talk about my sister overcoming a certain weakness, I talk to her about quitting smoking, and I say, if you do it, and if you overcome this, it takes several stumbling blocks out of the way for your children to do it just because you've overcome it. So I think that's probably likened to it. The things that we overcome, there's a certain weight, bearing, influence and ability that we have now.
I'm not talking about forward, I'm talking about backwards.
Right.
Is the past generations affected by the ones that overcome?
I think so, absolutely. And when I was saying about your ability to overcome, even those that were stuck in cycles that are long dead, I think that there's, you know, it might be the, you know, when the Catholics talked about praying for those in purgatory, I think that we have abilities that are beyond our present comprehension.
Jesus went into the hell. Let the captives.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think this is hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that the Christ energy has come, and part of that, when we talked about the role of a shaman to go in and to lead captivity captive, I think that's part of it. I think we have abilities that we know not of. And part of them is the ability to ransom consciousness and bring it out of its place of captivity. I think we experience it all the time. And it's not an event reserved for one person, one being, it's a corporate name.
Well, actually, I had a past a long years ago. We went through all the charismatic and various churches and searched. And anyway, I got to tell you, Linda quit going first. But I had to stay there. And one day he did a talk on. He said, just because y'all, you know, you're baptized and you got speaking tongues, you know, you think you're going to heaven. He said, Stone, you better bust the gates of hell wide open. He should have never said that, because my little logical mind started reeling. And I said, well, isn't this interesting? We do everything they say. We give them money. And what he's doing now is keeping a chain around our neck, because they taught the rapture theory. So at the last minute, it was just like what I was taught as a Catholic, that you could be a good guy all your life, commit a mortal sin, get run over by the beer truck, and go to hell. But you could be a sinner all your life, get in an accident, not die, they're calling the priest. Here's your confession, gives you absolution, you go to heaven. So that puts the priest between you and God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I said, well, he's doing the same thing. And over the years, I kept coming back to me, you're going to bust the gates of hell wide open. Every night it would come to me, and I realized I am going to bust the gates of hell wide open, but not like he thinks. Even to set other captives free, just like Jesus did. Exactly what that means, I don't know, but there's something there. It was a prophecy, but not like we thought.
That's good.
I have a question. Did you ask for deliverance of your ancestors, your family, and all? My question is, do we have ancestors?
Well, are you familiar with David Hulse?
Yeah.
David Hulse teaches about twin flames, star mates, and soulmates. And he says that when we, part of the process to lower divinity into matter, that we interface with groups of people.
Yeah.
With groups of consciousness, I should say. And that when we see them in our lives, we recognize them, and they're usually our family members, our close friends, our work associates, and we clump together through lifetimes. Having agreed to experience something together. So, whether we have ancestors or not, I mean, I know that we're tied with our DNA, but...
It just occurred to me that if we're coming from there, that we're not connected as we think we are. Here we be. I can't understand that.
That's okay.
I do believe we have ancestors. I don't know. Well, if you believe that, I think you do. There's two ways to look at it. We just don't know. Do we have ancestors? I can't understand that one.
You know, there's some interesting thoughts, because when the masculine and the feminine principle come together in a single body, it produces life out of itself. And so no more do we experience the cycles of birth and death, but it comes forth rather in lineage, you know, future children, past ancestors, it reproduces life out of your being, and that's how people have said that's immortality. So, interesting way to look at that too. Y'all want to stand up and stretch?
Oh, yes, please.
Trace and stuff?
My teacher.